The title or the thought that I have this morning is Be at Peace Among Yourselves. And let's look in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 12 and start there this morning. We surely need the Lord's help as always. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. That thought this morning, be at peace among yourselves, brings a lot of thoughts to my mind. I think having an atmosphere of peace in the home, it makes a person want to come home and be at home, doesn't it? I've taken pigeons off 600 miles, and they flew home, and there's something about home they liked. They flew that far. They can fly 600 miles in a day. Men will work themselves to down to nothing to just to get home and be with their family. And you know what it's like when you have a peaceful home? It's inviting, and it's comforting, and there's such a peace. I remember going into Brother Ted's house and Brother Madden's house. I just remember that when I was growing up, the feel of going into their home brought peace. It was quiet there. It was restful. And you know, coming to a congregation where there's peace and there's a love and understanding, there's something about that is hard to explain. It's something. You just want to be there because there's love there. There's peace there. Genesis 13, 7 and 8, you know the story that there was a little conflict. The Lord never told Lot to go with Abraham. He said, Abraham, I want you to leave your father. I want you to leave everything and I want you to follow after me. But Lot tagged along and there was a problem with that. There was a problem. 13, 7, and 8 of Genesis. And there was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwell then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. And you know what we find here is Abraham ended up, they separated and he's told Lot, you just take whatever you see, wherever you want, take it, just have it, it's yours. And Lot chose a well-favored land. He pitched his tent towards Sodom and ended up not only looking that direction, but he ended up moving in and being a part or being so close to them. The Bible said that this man vexed his righteous soul from day to day by seeing the deeds and hearing the deeds of the wicked. But anyway, my thought is Abraham was a peacemaker and he said, Let there be no strife between us. I see what's going on and the land is not able to contain us. The land is too small and the grass is running thin. So you choose whichever direction you want to go. Being at peace among yourselves, it tells something about our character. It tells something about what we have within us, doesn't it? Being at peace, who's going to be the peacemaker in your troubles? Who's going to be the peacemaker? Who's going to be the first one in your home that says, I'm sorry for what I've done? Who's going to be the first one that recognizes that we've got to do something? The taller spiritually we are, the quicker we are to respond and be the first one to take care of the situation and not let it linger. You know, when things linger and go on and just remain silent, we don't say nothing and nothing happens. You know, peace just doesn't come out of the mire. It comes out of people's character and their love for God. Peace doesn't just spring up out of nowhere. It takes courage. It takes strength. And someone's got to step up and take care of it. Otherwise, things just remain. Conditions linger and things keep going on. But you know what? I appreciate Abraham's courage to stand up and say, let there be no strife between us. Let's take care of this problem. And they did. And when you do things in the right way, do you know things will work? Do you know things actually can put themselves, things can work back together? But when we just hope that it'll work out, when we just hope that things there will be peace out of chaos, when we just hope that, you know, even in nature, even in physics and things, order doesn't develop out of chaos. And people say, you know, we evolved. That's impossible. It's impossible because chaos or things out of order don't evolve into orderly things. It doesn't work that way. Neither does it in our life. We can't just hope for things out of a bad situation to take care of themselves. Do you know, we're in a world full of people that don't want to take care of things. I've heard people say, well, yeah, they owe me an apology. They done this and that to me. You know, and I'm not going to forget it. No, you're not. No, you're not. No, I realize that. I understand what you're telling me, but also understand that nothing will ever change, and you'll go to your grave waiting for that phone call. And what we need is courage to take care of little things. Be at peace among yourselves. Where does peace come from? Well, I'm going to tell you, it has to come from courage sometimes, doesn't it? It has to come from somebody big enough or grown up enough to want to take a little bit of charge. So God help us to be, I mentioned before about being first responders. I mentioned to us before, a first responder is the person that realizes their problem, they take care of it. They don't wait for things to come out from chaos to order. They don't have that false hope in their head. They realize the only way this is going to work out, somebody's got to do something. Just like Abigail and her husband was such a thoughtless, selfish person. But Abigail, she saddled up the donkey and loaded it with bread and figs. And she had some freshly killed animals. And she had meat and she had things. And she met David and his 400 men head on. One woman. Head on. And she said, my Lord, let this iniquity be upon me. That's something that's lacking in the world today. I'm going to tell you, is that courage to take things and do something with it. Lord, help us today. Yes, I do preach to myself sometimes. And yes, it hurts me just like it hurts you right now. But I'm going to tell you, it's good for all of us, isn't it? And we're never going to grow spiritually until we're willing. And we're never going to, things aren't going to be until we do like Abigail and we do like Abraham. She just met him and said, let this iniquity be. Here's this woman, and these men are mad. They're hungry, and they're upset, and they're going to kill everyone in Nabal's household. And this one woman perceived there's a trouble, and she took the bull by the horns, and she went out and met him. And you know the rest of the story. Abigail ended up marrying David after old Nabal died. So anyway, I'm telling you, good things can come out of bad things. They can. But somebody has to put things in motion. There has to be a starting place. It doesn't just evolve. No, it comes from a starting place. Abigail's courage saved her own life and her whole household. Nabal didn't know nothing about it. When she told him, said, well, I took care of the problem, and Nabal, his heart became a stone. He died a few days later. It was awful. I'm going to read to you a few verses in the book of Luke, the first chapter of Luke. I love this. I've read it. It's in my heart. I just appreciate what this, the Gospel of Luke, some of his descriptions, some of his writings, it just connects with me. I love it. He said here in the first chapter of Luke, I get this mixed up sometimes, but here I'll start. 68th verse, 1 and 68. Luke 1 and 68. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. It's wonderful when God visits us. It's wonderful when he comes by and spends a little time with us. And that's what he said. He's visited his people and raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Imagine that horn of plenty. Imagine that horn you see around Thanksgiving. And everything is flowing out of that. That's just like God wants to be to his people today. A horn of salvation. As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. Thank God for that. He's had some ones that stood for truth. That we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. To perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. The oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And it said, the child, and thou child shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his shewing unto Israel. This 79th verse, I had to read all of it to get this, but I hope you got it. He said, to guide our feet into the way of peace. I believe the Lord this morning came, and his declaration when he's first here, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Peace on earth. Was tired of the wrangling, was tired of the oppositions of people, the races, the leverage Satan had over people, and the bondage that he had him in. The Lord has come to give us peace. He's going to guide our feet in the way of peace. You know what? The Lord is leading each and every one of us into the way of peace this morning. He is wanting to guide our feet. He's wanting to help us, to guide us in a way of peace. Oh, I'm glad this morning the Lord has got many ways that he's going to encourage us, many things he can do to help us. In the book of 1 Corinthians 12 and 25, we find that the Lord is talking about his church, the body, and I won't read all of this, but he said in the 25th verse something so important, that there should be no schism or division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. No schism in the body. No division. No people in caste, or no people in a better light than other people, but we should have the same care one toward another. Why is that? Because God wants us to have peace. In the book of Psalms, I won't read this, but 119 and 165 or somewhere, he said, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Great peace. God wants to give us great peace. He wants to help us this morning to be at peace among ourselves. When we have peace within us, there'll be peace around us. I've noted, told you different times, different situations that's happened. Brother Austin Wilson was trying to help Brother Smith, and Brother Darrell was up on a ladder. Brother Austin comes along, and Brother Austin has that palsy and shook real bad. And he's seen Brother Darrell up on that ladder, and he thought he'd hold it for him. Well, when he got a hold of the ladder, he's trying to help him, and he's shaking it. Brother Darrell said, "Brother Austin, I believe I'm all right. I'll be all right. You can let go." But having something out of balance in our lives transmits to others. You know, when there's peace in the home, when there's peace in our lives, there's something attractive about that. We have a song that says, "Making attractive the way." And when there's something of peace in our heart, you know, we're able to help people. You're able to help people. If there's turmoil and there's questions, I was thinking this morning about the double-minded man. Let me read to you here in the book of James. He talks about it. A double-minded man. In the first chapter, the 8th verse, it said, "A double-minded man is what? He's unstable in all of his ways." So here you are. You're not sure about what you believe in. You're not sure about it. You're not sure if this is right. You're not sure if that's right. What's it left you? You're left a double-minded person. You know, God wants to help us all to be like Job. I know, or like Paul, he said, "I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." He wants us to have a mind that is sure of what we believe in and know where we stand. If we don't know where we stand, how can we be stable? And if we're not stable, how can we be at peace? If we're always worrying about this and that, people are going to talk about it. They're going to think, what are they thinking about? What's going on? Be at peace among yourselves. Be at peace with yourself, first of all. We've got to be at peace with ourselves. If we're not, we're going to be trying to please this one and please that one. Double-mindedness can just wreck and wreak havoc in our lives, folks. Be at peace. Be at peace with God. Know where you're at with Him, and everything else will fall in place. It might not matter what everybody thinks about you. You know, as you get older, you're young, and you think, "Oh, they're all looking at me." And then you get older, you think, "They never paid no attention to me at all." And we realize, you know, I wasted all those years of worrying about what people think about me. And it really didn't matter at all. God, help us today to be at peace with ourselves. It's important. And to be double-minded, it's a battle for some of us. It's a battle. We wonder, well, what do they think about me? We're so worried, if we err, we want to be sure. Now, we err on the far side over here. We want to be sure. Now, we err because we want that name. We want our position. We want our whatever to be upheld. And if people think this about me, they'll just, I've lost it all. You know what? There's a little saying that said, "The master's approval is the servant's best wages." And I really believe that this morning. It doesn't matter what people think. Paul said, there's a lot of things that's happened. He said, I'm accused over here, and I have different things that's happened. He said, I can't get that scripture, but he said one place that, you know, I'm thought of as a deceiver. I'm thought of this and that. Different things that he could get off on. People could be accusing him. Yeah, you're that radical person. You're that radical this and that. You killed people and you did this and that and had them in prison. He could have all kinds of things, but he said, "I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded He is able to keep that which is committed unto me against that day. Against that day when the final judgment comes. Lord, I know I've believed in You, and everything that up to this point I have put my faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I know whom I believe. And I want to tell you this morning, there'll be no peace outside until we have it inside. And with ourselves, we have to get through the double-mindedness. We have to get through it. If we lean a little bit this way when the crowd comes along, and we're with this certain crowd, we lean that way. When we're with another crowd, we lean over. We're kind of tainted with double-mindedness. And the Lord wants us just be stable. Just be who you are. And don't try to put on a front in front of anybody. Just be who you are. By the grace of God, I am what I am. People, they think this and they think that. Abraham Lincoln said, if I would just pay attention to everything people talked about me and said about me, I wouldn't have time to be the president. I wouldn't have time to do the work that I'm called to do. And neither will you if you waste time chasing rumors and you waste time doing that. Do what God wants you to do. Do it. Give it your best. And don't be double-minded. They say there's some kind of disease that people, or it's not a disease, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that, but it's some kind of little phobia or a fearful thing that people have, afraid of going through doors. And I remember Brother Madden telling about this. A man, he'd come up to a door, and it was a swinging door, and he'd get up to it, and he'd get so close, and he'd back up, and he just couldn't make up his mind to go on through it. It was something about that swinging door. It was hard. You know, in our spiritual life, we're just going to have courage. Abigail had it. Abraham had it. Paul had that courage. Lord, I'm going to stop. I'm tired. Double minus, where are you at? I'm tired. I just want to be what You'd have me to be. Just knowing that if I please the Master, and the servant's best wages are when we hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. 5 and 9 of Matthew said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. The peacemakers. The peacemakers. Are we peacemakers? We've got to have the gift in our heart first to be a peacemaker. We have to have peace in ourselves before we can be the peacemaker. Could it be some of the troubles in the world are leftover problems from the people of God? Could it be that some of the problems we face in our families and some of the problems we have in society is because people that are called the people of God are not really peacemakers at all? Just a hollow, shallow, empty shell. Lord, help us today. You know what? Being at peace among ourselves will get down to where we live. It'll get down and stir our hearts. Could it be unresolved problems and lingering situations and things that just hang around are the results of us not taking charge, not being single-minded? Could it be that somehow we've let our courage slip a little bit? Somehow we've taken a back seat, and we've hoped things will evolve from the obscure or from the out of order to order, from chaos to peace. We've had that vain imagination in our minds. We've had that false hope. I find that people live on sometimes such a shallow, empty, it's a false hope. It's something to believe. Can chaos go to peace without someone stepping in between and putting things in order? Hey, I want to set this right. I want to straighten things up. I want to take care of this. I want to get this solved. I want to do it. Lord, help us today. You know, I find that growing up, growing in grace, and growing in the knowledge of the Lord, there has to be effort put on our part. It takes something on our part. Lord, help James Bell today. Lord, help every one of us today. We're facing a caustic, hostile world that is full of troubles. And there's no peace out there. The Bible said, there's no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. They're like a troubled sea. And it just stirs up. It comes in and it brings. You see the waves of the ocean, they come in and they'll lap up on the land. And sometimes it'll bring in trash cans. It'll bring in old wood. It'll bring in dead fish. It'll bring in seaweed. It'll bring in mud and mire of all kinds. This thing wash up on the beaches. And then we find that during high tide, the Lord during the night many times come by and the tide rises and things that were swept up, taken back out. The beaches are clean. He cleans thousands of miles of beaches every day. And I wonder in our life sometimes, the things that's been stirred up, they regurgitate sometimes. They come up and they go back and they come up and they go back. If there wouldn't be a better solution, and on our part, we say, wait a minute, I'm going to grab that. I'm going to get that thing. That's not been good in my life. And we could kind of clean the beaches sometimes, so to speak, in our soul and our mind, and unresolved issues can be worked out. Lord, help us today. Courage, my brethren. Courage this morning. Courage. We need that courage. Step up. Face yourself. Don't keep looking and wishing and thinking. We look in the mirror sometimes and we forget what manner of people we were. And go back. Oh. Whoop. That old mirror sure needs some work on it. That's not me, but it is. That's me. Let's not forget what manner of people we are. We have been. Let's not forget that we're not infallible. We get thinking sometimes that, and I see people, I feel like sometimes this could happen. Maybe I should phrase it that way, that we're almost invincible. Infallible, and that we're so good, and that we have so many good qualities about us that we forget what manner of person we were. Let's look into the mirror this morning and say there were some tendencies there. There's things there that I need the Lord's help in. There's some attitudes there that spring up from who knows where. Lord, you're going to help me now. I want to clean the beach. I want to get my heart clean. I want peace in my life. I want you to help me because I'm living in a world that is full of trouble and people need some help today. So please help me to be at peace with myself. The book of Romans, the 8th chapter, he said here, the third verse, for what the law could not do in that it was weak to the flesh. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For they that are after the Spirit, they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. The Lord give us a meter to monitor ourselves. Lord, help us to look at ourselves. Is there a way, Lord, that you can help me to see? Am I walking in the flesh or in the Spirit? Is there a way? And I say yes. There's the Holy Spirit that comes into our life that gives us a little reality check. And the Holy Spirit, thank God this morning for the Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you because he said, I'm going to reveal things to you through the Holy Spirit. I'm going to be a revealer of secrets. I'm going to be a revealer to you of the personal needs that you have in your life. I'm going to reveal those things. And when God begins to reveal things to us, I tell you, thank God for it. Even though it hurts, you said, oh, that's surely not me. And he goes, yeah, that's you, Bill. And I think, well, that's going to take some work. I can't do that. I know. You trust me and I'll help you. We need Him. I need Thee every hour, most precious Lord. I need Your strength. I need Your power. I need Your peace, Lord. I need Your strength and courage to be able to do what I know is right. Dr. Laura Schlesinger says many times, now go do what's right. She ends it many, many times. That's her saying, now go and do what's right. I want to say to us this morning, the Holy Spirit can reveal things to us and He'll say, now you go do what's right. Go do what's right. With courage and with grace and with strength of the Lord, we can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth us. Resting on His promises this morning, resting in His strength, resting in His goodness to us, and realizing how patient He's been with us, it helps us to be able to say, okay, I'm going to let a little of this rub off now. Lord, You've given me something special. I'm going to let that go to this hard situation in my life. So the Lord wants to bless us this morning. Galatians 5 and 22. Oh, I was reading this morning and I don't know, these words, they touch my heart just like they do yours. They stir me. Hopefully all of us, we get stirred. But He said here, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, is joy, is peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. All these things are meant, the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruits. It's a fruit. It is something that comes when we're Christ's children. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Be at peace among yourselves. You're going to have love to do that. Long-suffering, gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness, it's all got to come in there. When we're short or lacking, void or whatever you call it, whatever you want to put in there, when we're needy of those things, you can rest assured that peace is pretty thin. Peace is pretty thin. Lord, help us today. Be at peace among yourselves. Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. The world says, have a good day. But He said, my peace that I give you is far surpassing than those little words of that come so easy, and they those words that cliches and things that we sometimes use, it's all in good intentions, but it's far from the peace that Jesus gives us. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. God wants to help us in so many ways. The book of Philippians 4 and 7, this verse is so good. And the peace of God, memorize this. Young people, memorize this. Children, memorize this. Old people, memorize this. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. All, all understanding. Everything you've thought of, everything you've dreamed, everything. He said, the peace of God, it passes all understanding. And He said, what's it going to do? It's going to keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You feel your mind is getting away from you? You feel your peace is getting away? Maybe we need to put it in somebody else's care besides our own. We need to rest in the Lord. We need to put our rest and our confidence in Him and let Him keep us. Just like Paul said, it's the third time I've said, I don't mean to belabor this point, but He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him. If we've been trying to keep the peace, but we've got limited conditions, you know, we do that sometimes. I'm going to keep the peace here, but it's only as you do what I say, and then we have peace. It's only as far as my grace goes. That old rooster, I can't remember that cartoon, but there was one of them little chickens kept hitting that big one. And he finally picked him up and he said, Boy, your actions are exceeding the limitations of my medication. You know, sometimes that's about as far as some people's actions exceed our graces. And it kind of tells us how small our graces are sometimes. You know, I had this man one time, I was working on his heater and it was cold outside and his heater was broke. And I had to ask him where the heater was because I couldn't find it. And he took me down this little rabbit trail in his garage. And I don't know how. There was stuff piled up so high you couldn't hardly. And he got in there by that heater. If that thing ever belched out fire, it had caught the whole house on fire. I don't know how in the world. But when we got in there, he had to kind of step aside. And you know, I've got claustrophobia. And it bothers me in tight places. And we got in there, and that man, he couldn't tell it, but he was stepping on my feet. The space was so tight that he was stepping on my feet, and he was coming over there closer and closer to me, watching it, and he's stepping on my toes. And I didn't do anything at first, and finally I moved my foot. I'm sorry. And I got to work, and he come over there again, and I pulled my foot out. You know, there's some things that bother you, don't you? Right? You all get troubled about things. You all get in close places sometimes. We all do. We need that peace that passeth all understanding. We need something within us to withstand that which was without us. The pressures of this world, the temptations, all the things going on in life, it'll overwhelm us. And it'll cause us to lose our peace. We'll be disturbed about this and that. And the Lord help us here. He said, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall what? It shall keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Wonderful. Lord, help me to get a hold of that. That's meat. That is M-E-A-T. That is something we can sink our spiritual teeth in and get a hold of, and it will sustain us, it'll feed us, it'll take us through. There's nothing the enemy wants to do is to keep you weak. He wants to keep you undernourished. He wants to keep you with a thin line of peace around you. He wants to keep your levels of grace down so low that things touch you off and things upset you, and he can step back and laugh at you when you get upset. I've done it again to him. It's Monday morning, and I've sent these old bad customers over here and these old grumpy people, and I've got people here. They're calling and doing things. The devil is really cruel. But you know, God comes along and says, I'm going to give you a barrier. I'm going to give you something to protect you from the onslaughts of Satan. I'm going to put a barrier, and I want that to be your peace. Let me read to you a verse of this song. It just came to my mind. I think it's 258. Let me look here just a second. Let not your weary heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I will prepare a place for thee. Let not your peace, here it is, Let not your peace and calm assurance be ruffled by the storms of life. But what? Soldier-like, with firm endurance, just glory in the holy strife. Let not your hope be dim with doubting. Let not life's burdens foil your grace. But in each conflict, victory shouting like he who runs to win a race. Let not your peace and calm assurance be ruffled. Here's what we got to do, folks. It's more than a Sunday morning gospel message that brings us through the whole week. It's more than just little cliches and things that's going to help you and just little. There's got to be a thicker, wider, more abundant peace that comes in our life that fills us, that actually fills us with something that gives us assurance, and it gives us hope. We look beyond the present distress. We look beyond what's happening now. We look beyond our tears. We look beyond our sorrows. We look beyond the things that affect us so cruelly here, and we look at something beyond our present distress. Let not life's burdens foil your grace, but in each conflict, victory shouting like he who runs to win a race. May the Lord bless us this morning to have the fruit of the Spirit of peace and love in our life. The peace of God. In 16 and 33, I'm almost done, of John, he said, in me, you're going to have peace. John 16 and 33. These things I've spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. Thank God for that this morning. In me, he said, you're going to find, you're going to have peace. So I'm glad we have something to look forward to. Timothy 2 and 22, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Be at peace among yourselves. Have the peace of God in your own heart, and it'll ripple down to your children. It'll ripple through. It'll have an effect on your neighbor. It'll do something. I remember my old neighbor. Some of you remember him. He was an angry old man. His heart was hardened. He had lots of bitterness in his life. And he chewed me out real good one day. And my wife said, go invite him over. We're going to cook some Mexican food. And I knocked on his door, and he came to the door, and he said, I thought you'd never talk to me again the way I talked to you. And I said, oh, Mr. Whiteford, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have had that old well house full of junk and everything. You want to come over and eat with us? He said, yeah, I'd be glad to. Something, just a little bit of food or a little bit of love or a little bit of patience or a little bit of courage, whatever. It goes a long ways. It goes a long ways. And I think this is the spiritual exercise that the people of God never want to lose. If we lose this spiritual exercise of exercising peace and being the first responders, being the person that makes the first call, or we do whatever to keep peace, be the first one to ask forgiveness, be the first one. If we lose that exercise, we're going to find ourselves declining and the peace of God will get away from us. And we don't want that. We want to treasure this very highly. It's worth something. It really is. So I'm going to encourage you this morning. Let's do a little exercising. Let's do what God would have us to do and be at peace among ourselves. In our homes, there's things we need to exercise. We need to take care of that, don't we? Lord, help us today. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. It catches all of us. It finds a place in every one of our lives that we find that we can do a little better. I pray that you would help us, Lord, each one, and may this spiritual exercise of keeping peace and being at peace among ourselves would never get away from us. You would help us that the word that's spoken would be profitable, and help us to remember, Lord, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you love one another. Help and take care of us, Lord, and be as we go our different ways today, help us to remember your words and rest in you and draw strength from you, Lord, when the challenge is upon us to do what's right. Help us, Lord, to be courageous as Abigail and Abraham, be willing to take care of our part and do what we can and even more. Lord, for your cause and for your kingdom, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.